Welcome to Scaling the Gap, the podcast for leaders who refuse to settle. I'm Madeline McRae, CEO and co-founder of ProQ. Here, we cut through the noise to tackle the real challenges of scaling your business while staying true to your purpose. Every episode brings candid conversations, proven strategies, and the kind of insights that don't just inform, they ignite action. If you're ready to stop talking about impact and start making it, you're in the right place. Let's get started. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back for another powerful episode of Scaling the Gap. I am super excited to be joined today by Stephen Livingston. He is a really, really cool entrepreneur with a very interesting background who took the bold path of purchasing a franchise to exercise his entrepreneurial muscles and to really get into the game of business ownership. He's got a big, bold vision, and I cannot wait to share his story with you. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Absolutely. So I know I gave a little bit of a blurb about who you are, what you're doing, but why don't you share with our listeners a little bit more about who you are and the work that you do in this world?
Yeah, I'll probably take it back to my life back in Jamaica and summarize my growing up and then coming up. It was a little bit different. Sharing with someone today, I started school kind of early, and while in school, realized that there was something funky going on, right? I was always excited, passionate about business. I was always a kid finding ways to make money while in school. You know, I was selling this, selling that. I was selling CDs. I was doing a bunch of different things. And there was this unique thing I also discovered. At one point when I was asked to focus on a set of subjects that I like, which was business subjects, I realized I did really well. And then I was asked to do a different set of subjects, which was more in the sciences. And all of a sudden, I was the worst student in high school. I couldn't figure out what that dynamic was. But yeah. Whenever I'm passionate about something, that's the only time I do well at it. And I don't. So fast forward a little bit. I had a very unusual journey where, because I started early, I went to college early, and then I had the benefit of getting into the work world a little bit early. So I started in investment banking. I'm at the young age of 17 years old, and awesome. Thought at that time finance was my thing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, after a while, I was like, wait, there's more to this. And fast track 5 years in, you know, I was managing liquidity. I was trading. I thought it was my dream job. I didn't think. So I bought a business. Well, no, I actually started a business ground up distributing stuff across Jamaica. Mm. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love this. I love this. It was the most exhilarating experience of my life. Least amount of money I ever made. Yeah. Most amount of exhilaration. Yes. I also learned a lot from it though, right? So it didn't work out. The business actually, you know, I sold it for pennies on the dollar to a customer. And went back to work. But my approach to work was so different. I actually pin my success or my career on me having that business, because everything that I learned in that business, I was then able to apply to work.
Yeah, I love that.
Started doing entrepreneurial roles within corporate. I was 100% a corporate misfit, right?
Yeah.
And I had this approach of going in, acting like a business owner. And through that, my career took me from Jamaica all the way to the States. So I came to the States because of my career and had the privilege of leveraging that experience, that expertise from being an entrepreneur to being able to run divisions for large companies, right? So running divisions for Diageo, Walmart, Colgate, eBay, and just continuing to flex that muscle. Mm-hmm. What I found was I continued to grow at a faster rate whenever it is I had a business on the side. Then I would take the things that I'm learning from business and apply it to my job. And then that allowed me to come with a different approach, a different perspective, a different angle. So it was quite an unusual journey, right?
Yeah, that's a very atypical progression, right? And to know that you have that edge, that slight edge that you give yourself when you have a business on the side in your corporate career. So you're getting your entrepreneurial desires fulfilled over here, but you're still having a corporate job. And also, that's a lot to juggle. It's a lot going on. So you're running at high power across multiple facets of your life. Are you loving your life at this point, or is it a slog?
There were moments. There were highs and lows. There were some moments where it felt really low, right? There were times when I'm doing well at work, but not so well at business. I'm doing well at business. I'm not doing so well at work. And finding that middle ground, that balance was crucial. I also had to find peace. I had to figure out what is it that you're really trying to go after and what's going to be the greatest joy. And being able to choose that and find that and figure that out was I think, crucial. You know, defining what success really means and then going after it in a special way. But the other thing, too, that I would say is that it was also a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Right? You know, there were times when I had high anxiety, high stress, and you know, I'm in session. I'm doing things like therapy. I'm taking care of myself and doing all that. But there would be times when the therapist is looking at me and saying, like, you were meant to be an entrepreneur. Why are you still at work? Yourself in this position in corporate where, you know, the skill sets has gotten you to a certain point that it creates what they call the golden parachute. It's very hard to leave that salary to then take the chance to go business that's not guaranteed.
That's right. To go from an absolute guarantee to a maybe. Yeah. So in my own corporate career, I always call that phenomenon being in golden handcuffs because the money was really good and I was making more money I'd ever had in my corporate career. And from the outside looking in, I looked extremely successful and I felt successful, but there was a natural limitation to how much I could do, how much I could achieve, where I could grow that just you don't have an entrepreneurial life. And I knew that there was something more for me. So I kind of felt handcuffed and chained a little bit in where I was. And I just found it so, so incredibly hard to walk away from that level of guaranteed money, 100%. Even though I believed that there was more for me in entrepreneurial life, that never having had to live without the parachute, right? Without that was just a really significant, at least for me, a psychological challenge that was hard to get over.
Yeah, 100%.
So what was it that made you make the leap?
There were several things, I think, that led to it. I think a few years ago, about 6 years ago, my wife, who was home taking care of the kids, she's a dentist by training. She's amazing. She came here to the States with me. And I am everything I am because of her, right? Her support, her being there. She was at a point where she wasn't sure if she wanted to go back to dentistry. We were thinking about what she'd want to do. And we just bought a house. We were remodeling it. And we realized how painful the experience was. And we said, why don't we use this as an opportunity to invest in something that's ours. We'll build it. And we explored a bunch of different businesses. I looked at a bakery. We bought that, went under due diligence, found out that the books weren't what they said they were. So we backed out. And then we came across the Kitchen Tune-Up franchise. My wife was scared. I would use expletives, but she was scared about it. But you know, I gave her the comfort that I would not let her fail. Right.
Oh.
At this point, I felt like I've developed an entrepreneurial muscle. I love doing this, and it would be a lot of fun for me, as well as being able to support her.
Yeah.
So we bought the franchise. We started it in our basement, and you know, with her being at the forefront, we were able to scale it significantly over the past 5 years. And while doing that, that just opened so many other things, right? We've invested in other businesses. We've supported and guided other businesses as well. It allowed me to continue having that muscle, I think, so that I could actually stay in corporate and not go crazy because I always wanted to do this.
Yeah.
So looking back, one of the things that I also say, there are two things that I live by, right? One is it takes the same amount of work to do something that's small as it does something big. The other is resources have a limited window. So we spoke about the golden parachute and the golden cuffs, but then the question is, what do you do with it, right? Some people are gung-ho, I'm going to take this and I'm going to invest in a 401k, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Whereas I always saw it as a window of opportunity to go hard against the things that you believe in or that you're passionate about. So I've always lived the quote-unquote Amazon life, where you're always investing forward, investing ahead, right? And most of my salary would be going into investing in stuff, right? Versus the flashy car, the big house, this.
Sure.
And I think that was fulfilling, right? Being able to do that and leveraging each area of the life to continue moving that flywheel. So I'd invest my salary into business, the business I'm getting learnings, that's helping me to increase my salary. So it just continued like...
Sure. Like having a compounding effect inside of your own earning potential right then and there. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I wanted to go back to a couple of these little nuggets of wisdom that you dropped as you were sharing your story. And what a cool story, right? To saying like, look, from the very beginning, I started young, started early, and I just applied myself on all different things. One of the things you said, it was something you found funky going on, was that you were always passionate about business. And when you were doing topics that you were interested in, you were on fire with them. And I think that there's such an important lesson for us as entrepreneurs and as parents, as partners, as friends, as advocates for other people, just to acknowledge that you are not going to be good at every single thing, right? Yeah. You can be extremely multi-talented. I'm extremely multi-talented. Clearly, so are you. And also have things you absolutely suck at. You mentioned the sciences. Oh my gosh, the worst class I ever took in college was physics. I don't know why I took physics. And also I didn't take it once. I took it twice. My friends were like, yeah, we'll help you. It's easy. And I was like, okay. I got a pity C because I worked so hard and did every single piece of homework. And then during the test, I would go up to ask for help. And the professor, his name was PK. He was very funny. Professor Kelly, and he would say, you can ask for a hint and I'm going to deduct some points. And I would come up and ask for a hint and he'd give me a hint. And one day I was like, hit me again. I need another hint on top. He's like, that didn't help. I'm like, absolutely not. And he's like, you're going to lose a lot of points. I'm like, well, losing a lot of points versus getting a straight zero because I literally don't know how to answer this question. You know, okay, I guess I'm going to lose points. It is what it is. Like, I don't know what to tell you. But you can be brilliant at something. And when you're working in an area of talent, of strength, so talent plus skill equals strength. Yeah. And when you're working in a place of strength, you're going to be almost effortless in doing it, consistently good, predictably good, and it's not going to be depleting. Yeah. Versus when you're working in something that you're not talented for, you have no gifting whatsoever, raw effort can get you somewhere, but it's going to get you just like to the most minimal of baseline, 100%. Which you have to pour exponential effort and energy and exhaust yourself just to be mediocre.
Yeah. I've always lived by the philosophy that where talent and passion intersect, there is where magic is formed.
I love that.
As a matter of fact, so through a corporate, I've had to conduct several turnarounds, right? You know, I was always the guy that would come in and take the business no one wanted to take and figure out how to get this thing back on a growth trajectory.
Yeah.
And one of the first things I would typically do is get to know the team and figure out who was in each seat and figure out what it is they liked, what it is they didn't like. And I'd straight up ask those questions. What do you hate the most? What did you like when you were growing up and in school? Because sometimes we don't think about this. And what did you like at least? And then figure out what the business needs. And when those two were like in harmony, you saw something special happen. You saw a side to people that you'd never have seen. You'd see talent who people, you know, had written off and said they were terrible performers, all of a sudden become superstars.
Yeah.
Because in many cases, people are just in the wrong seat doing the right things.
Right.
So the wrong seat, doing the wrong things. But it's for a leader to establish what the right things are.
Sure.
Part of leadership is identifying where those two intersect so you can find that talent.
I love that. The intersection of talent and passion equals magic. That's so beautiful. There's so many things about, I look at the luck paradigm, right? The intersection of preparation and opportunity. When you make an action, that's where luck happens. And I like this idea of juxtaposing luck and magic, right? You can get really lucky and you can create magic. It's intentional, right? It's not accidental. It's intentional. And being able to spot people's talents. I love that you said you went back to what they loved in school, because sometimes what you're doing today and what you like today, if you hearken back to what you liked as a little kid, it's the same stuff. Right? When I was a little kid, I made the world's most horrific, rancid smelling perfumes out of my mom's dead flowers and tried to sell them on my front porch.
I love it.
you cannot take the entrepreneur out of the girl.
No.
I didn't know that that's what
been
I
there.
Was. Right?
Been there.
And you know, if I look back to that, I loved that. I loved the process of trying to figure out what I could make to sell. I loved the process of commerce, right?
Yeah.
And not everybody does.
No. In fact, most of us don't know what it is that we want, which is half the battle.
Right.
The reason why I usually ask about school and this and that is because most people aren't aware of what they're truly passionate about.
Sure.
Most times they haven't been exposed to what that thing is called or defined.
That's
right. You know the basics of what you like to do, but you don't know how that manifests.
Sure.
And I think that too is a part of leadership, even in building a business, understanding where your team thrives, if they fit on the bus in the first place, and then figuring out how it has to be a give and take. It's not just, hey, I need this business to grow 100%, but you can't grow the business unless you grow people. That's been one of the things I think helped me along the way, caring about people, caring about their own growth and success. And by way of that, being interested in what it is that's going to be beneficial for them, even when they don't know themselves in many
cases.
That's
right. Yeah. And just because someone's been doing something doesn't mean they're good at it, doesn't mean that they love it, doesn't mean it gives them anything. And a lot of people feel sort of stuck. They feel like, well, I guess I got to do it because I need my paycheck and I guess it's a good job. And they never pause to ask the question because they didn't give themselves permission to get curious.
I think that was the blessing and the curse of discovering. I mean, we've spoken about this before, but I discovered I had ADHD. And I think one of the things that it forced me to do was focus only on things I liked. That's where that whole do things you like came from. It wasn't because, oh, you like it, so now you're gonna, I just couldn't. If I didn't like it, I couldn't pay attention to it and I would suck at it, right?
Yes.
Even throughout my career, even throughout owning businesses, even throughout school, there were things where if I didn't like it, my attention span would be so narrow, I wouldn't be able to do it well. So I didn't have the privilege of doing things that I don't like, right?
Sure.
I had to make sure that I was focused on things I was passionate about. Otherwise, I'd fail.
Sure. Yeah. Attention span is just too short for it to sustain, right? It's not that you can't do it. It's that you can only do it for such a small amount of time that you never get momentum, right? Yeah. There's nothing to build on top of, right? Having ADHD, I also recently was diagnosed, and you and I were jamming about this earlier. It's really an amazing superpower. And it's such a powerful thing to know that that's what's going on in your mind, because you no longer need to wonder, like, why am I such a weirdo? Like, you've called it, why is there something funky going on, right? Like, what is that? You can just say, oh, that's how my brain ticks. And instead of trying to force yourself to be just like everyone else or to tick the way everybody else does, you just say, okay, I'm going to march to the beat of my own drum and it's going to be a damn good beat, right? But it might not be the beat that other people can handle, right?
No.
So there's a really nice give and take, but the knowledge, the insight, that care that you take for other people, recognizing their talents and of playing to them, to their strengths, it is reflecting the care you're taking with yourself to repeat that just within yourself, right?
Yeah.
We so often, you know, teach the things we need most to learn. And that's one of those things, really helping people hone in on that talent, that same expertise you brought to corporate turnarounds, to departmental turnarounds, even to helping people who are low performers. You're only low performing because you're just staying stuck in something you have no talent for, no passion about. And being able to tune into that makes every difference. Every difference.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. Love it. I love it. Well, I'm going to make the bold assumption here that you didn't just, you know, carefully and effortlessly walk from victory to victory to victory. So let's talk about in this entrepreneurial path, once you made the bold exit out of corporate, took this entrepreneurial adventure, what has been one of the unexpected hurdles? Something that you know, even with all your entrepreneurial journeying before in this current evolution, what has been something that's been unexpectedly hard?
I'll even go to just throughout running a business period, right? It's not for everyone. And I'll be blunt and honest and say it's not for everyone. It's if there are times when, think about an NFL game, two teams at the Super Bowl. In most cases, both teams are incredibly talented.
Sure.
In many cases, just as talented as each other. And the team that wins is the one that can persevere throughout, round by round by round by round, blow by blow by blow by blow. And it's going to be the one who wants it the most. In business, there have been times when, I remember when we started in the middle of COVID, right? Mm. There wasn't anything happening. In 2000 and when was it, 22, my daughter was born and I took on this global role and we left the business to the vices of the team. We weren't as involved. We had a bookkeeper who wasn't doing what they were supposed to do. I've never lost that much money in life. Like I lost enough money where I could have bought a house. And to be able to look at that and say to yourself, all right, let's roll up our sleeves and go again.
Sure.
Right?
No.
To know that you're making payroll every 2 weeks and even when things are tough, you're going to do what it takes. Yeah. Even days when you wake up and you see overdraft of thousands of dollars and you have to go find it somewhere. I remember going to the ATM and driving around with cash in my hand because I'm pulling it here, there to cover everything. So it's not always glory. There are times when it's tough, when the going gets tough. But at the end of the day, what counts is having the end in mind, being able to persevere, being able to learn from each mistake, and knowing that on some days you're going to be a good dad, on some days you're going to be a good entrepreneur, and some days you're going to be a good husband. On no given day are you all of those things.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I heard a really powerful speaker once say that life is like a three-legged stool where the legs are never equal, right? Yeah. Balance looks like some days it's 90% entrepreneurial life, 5% good dad, 5% good husband, right? Other days, it's 90% good husband, 5%, right? And it's just each thing is going to take its moment of precedent in your life. And as an entrepreneur, it's really important that you look at your life in a macro and that you stay balanced in the macro. Because if you're worried about weekly or daily balance, it's never going to quite feel that way. Right? You're not going to make it. And there's a high level, what you were talking about is there's a high level of uncertainty and of just like get shit doneness, right? Like you just have to get it done no matter what and whatever it takes. And in those moments, you have to know that what you're going to be at the end, where you're going to go at the end is well worth the sacrifice you're making today, right?
You have to have so much conviction in what you're doing.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
If you're not convicted in what you're doing, right? You have to be able to look and say, okay, if I have $100, would I rather invest it in what I'm doing or Amazon in my 401k?
Yes.
If your answer is Amazon in your 401k,
yep.
Pack it up, go invest in Amazon in your 401k.
Right.
But you believe enough in yourself that you're going to take that $100 and bet on yourself, even when you're facing the wall, then you know that's for you. If it's not, don't do it because you're not persevere, right?
That's right. That's
it's
right.
Not going to be a bed of roses every day.
And no.
At the end of the day, you have to believe that it's going to be worth it and that that's you're worth the investment.
Yeah, you said something really important, that you're worth the investment because you're going to need to invest in yourself so consistently at such a high level, so persistently that you have to be okay with receiving that level of investment. Right? Because that's also a component part of your own success. You're going to have to continuously better your own best in order to keep raising the bar in your business. So that's super powerful, super powerful. All right. So with all that going on, that's so many cool threads that we've been weaving over the course of this conversation. I love that you were looking for joy, you were looking for peace, idea that resources have a limited window and that you have to really be prepared and poised to use them in their moment instead of just keep stockpiling them, entrepreneurial trait and gift you have to have. But with all of this journeying from, you know, Jamaica growing up to a fast track school system to corporate life, entrepreneurial life, all the different things, I got to ask you the one mandatory question. And those of you listening at home, you already know it. So, Stephen, do you consider yourself to be successful?
Good question. It depends on who you're asking and when you're asking. If you're asking me 10 years ago, today, are you successful? Then I'd say, yeah, right?
Sure.
I came here to Jamaica. You know, I've built and turned around businesses in corporate. I've started businesses of my own. I have a great family. I've done all these things. But the thing to remember is success is a measuring stick for goals that you have set at a particular point in time. We can find ourselves chasing this success forever. And sure, success is going to be different for everyone. So you may ask someone, so I would hope that my story is inspirational to some, but am I successful? It depends. It depends on what they are asking, what goals am I, you know, looking at it against, and who you're asking.
Sure.
There are three questions or three things that I remind myself of each day as it relates to this. And I'll tell you what I actually focus on every day instead of just focusing on success.
Sure.
First one is, the moment I've made it is the moment I've lost it. So the moment I've arrived, and my wife will refer to King Tut, the moment that you're that guy.
Yes.
And that hunger that got you here, it's what you need to get you there. So yes, that hunger is something I treasure. So I never want to feel that I've ever made it. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm appreciative of all the things that we've done, because yeah, you know, we've done hard work and, you know, you see results. But then that takes me to the second thing. And that is, we're not defined by our past success, mm-hmm, but our future success is defined by who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We define our success. Our success doesn't define us.
Sure.
And then that takes me to the third thing, which is always remembering to be humble and always remembering that there's always going to be more that you're going to want to go after. And that is, I may not have everything I want, but I damn well have everything I need. Mm-hmm. I have everything I need to go after the goals I have. I have everything I need. You know, here we are. We have a roof over our head. We have clothes on our back. We have everything that we need to go after whatever it is that we want. Instead of asking myself every day if I'm successful, because that's always a moving target, I wake up every morning asking, am I fulfilled? Because if I'm fulfilled, then success will always be an inevitable byproduct.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever goals, yep, that I'm setting out to achieve.
I love it. So every single person that I've ever asked this question, so we're recording episode 70 right now. So I've asked this more than 70 times, and I've asked it many, many times outside of the context of the podcast. Everybody has their own flavor that they bring to what success means, right? Their own unique personal definition of success. And as you've been talking, I have been creating your own algorithm of what success means to you, like backwards engineering this. And I think that there's a component part that you didn't talk about that I'm going to add in at the end, because we talked about it before, but it didn't show up exactly this way, but that balanced picture, right? Yeah. So I'm gonna read back to you the algorithm I crafted while you talked.
All right.
And
I
you tell me how, yeah, we did. Now, sometimes I nail it and it's a mic drop and that's it. We're done and we wrap up. And sometimes we got to play with it a bit. So let's see if I nailed it. So for Stephen, success, yeah, is having hunger, who I get to become along the way and today, being satisfied but never complacent, consistently feeling fulfilled, staying humble, and being surrounded by robust relationships.
I'll tweak it a little bit.
Yeah, do it.
Okay. I would say being appreciative, right? Gratitude, I think, is huge.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Having, mm-hmm, gratitude and appreciation is huge, because many times we take for granted the things. Most of us, if we look back, right? I always say, today is a tomorrow we once dream about yesterday.
Mm.
Forget that sometimes. We forget, yeah, that. We're living the today that we used to dream about. Today comes and all of a sudden we're thinking about tomorrow and we forgot to be appreciative of the tomorrow that we once dreamed about yesterday.
Yes.
Hope that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
So yep, appreciation is something that I would slide in there.
Yeah.
And that notion of hunger is a big one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stay hungry, stay foolish is something we've heard it all the time.
Yeah.
But the moment that goes away and we think that we are the smartest cat, we never learn. We stop learning. If you're always smartest in the room, who are you going to learn from?
Sure.
You're not continuing to learn, or are you going to continue to grow? So being humble and continuously learning is something that's incredibly important to me.
Yep.
And then the component of humility, that comes from being able to be still and to observe and to understand that this is a journey, and being appreciative and enjoying the journey is far more important than waiting for the excitement of the destination.
Yeah.
Because enjoy the journey.
Because that is the whole point, right? That's that Miley Cyrus song, it's all about the climb, right? It really is. But because that's where life happens. Life doesn't happen only at the destination. And as a highly ambitious individual, you move the needle on the destination all the time. So you're always chasing it, always chasing, always chasing. I was just looking yesterday at a screenshot that one of our clients sent me last year. And he sent me a screenshot of, and he has multiple businesses, and in the business we were working with him on, he just had hit his first $1 million month in that business. And he sent me a screenshot of it. And he then said, and now it's just to do this every month, like, let's go. And they had done, they're in their next month and they're already at $500,000 with like just 1 week into the next month. And we're like, oh, where are you going to go now?
Right.
Right? Like we're chatting back and forth. And he said, he sent a picture of just a beach. And he said, this is me when we hit 25 million.
Oh my goodness.
But I would venture to bet that if I asked him today, his business is now trending towards about 18 million.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were to ask him today, will you be on the beach at 25? He's going to be like, heck no.
Right? Because he's enjoying the journey.
He's enjoying the journey.
That's
right?
The most important component.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, he'd go to the beach, but he's not going to live on the beach.
Could have gone to the beach.
He had to visit it.
5-6 million, right?
Right?
So
yeah, that's right.
At the end of the day, his beach, he's living his beach.
That's right.
He's enjoying, he wakes up, right? And that's why it comes down to, are you fulfilled? If you're not fulfilled doing what you're doing, then you're going to have a hard time getting to success. Because even if you quote unquote achieve success, you're not going to feel like it.
Yeah.
Because what you thought you wanted to achieve is different from what you're living.
Okay. So let's see if this again, I wrote very sloppy handwriting. So we're going to have to see if I can read what I wrote.
See.
Okay. Revamped, a little slightly tweaked, right? I changed the order of where we did just for emphatic note. All right. So success again, V2 for Stephen equals being rooted in humility and gratitude, having intense hunger, being fulfilled in who I'm being today, being satisfied but never complacent, and then being surrounded by robust relationships.
Nailed it. Drop a mic, walk away.
There we go. We got it. See, sometimes it takes a little bit of finessing. And that's the thing. Like when we start with something, we can see what's missing. What is it that passion that you have for gratitude and humility and that necessary component part of both being hungry and satisfied, that's very unique. That's a unique design of what lived success feels like to you in your shoes. And I appreciate you for sharing that with us today.
Of course. Thanks for having me. It was a great conversation. Hopefully it inspires some others to go out there, chase their own dreams.
Yeah.
Fulfill in what you're doing and never feel like you're working a day. Just keep at it.
Yeah. I love it. So thanks for joining us. If people want to find out more about you, or if they want to follow your trajectory, is there somewhere they can find you or your business that they can be directed to?
I think the easiest place, this is stephen.com, thisisstephen.com. And it has all my links there for whatever social platforms. Yeah.
I love that. So if you want to find out more about him, head to thisisstephen.com. We'll link it in the show notes as well. And just as some closing points, thanks again for joining us. Thank you for this really, really robust conversation about always being aware of when something funky is going on, because there's probably some brilliance and some passion and some talent lurking under the surface. And as a leader, being able to pause and to spot that, not just in yourself, but in your team, and really help them play to their strengths so that as you build this incredible business that you're building, you get to live your beach every single day. All right, everybody. I'm going to catch you on the next episode. Stephen, thanks again for joining us. Bye for now.
Thanks for tuning in to Scaling the Gap. If today's episode inspired you or sparked an idea, I'd love to hear about it. If you're an ambitious leader with a story to share, visit proqsystems.com, click on Media and Events, then select Podcast to apply to be our guest. We'd love to spotlight your journey. Also, don't forget to follow the show. and leave us a review to help bring more transformative insights to leaders just like you. You can also connect with me, Madeline McCray, on LinkedIn for more conversations, access to our exclusive tools and resources. Until next time, keep scaling your impact and building a legacy that matters.